Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. I am very honored and happy that joining us is Lily Macy. Lily is a World Peace Diet facilitator, and she runs the World Peace Diet Sundays. She founded this public teleconference, reading and discussion of the World Peace Diet, from her home in the backwoods of Northern California. Thank you, Lily, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. Thank you for asking me. What a joy to be with you.
You bring joy to the world. Lily, I would like to ask you about the health of your husband, Dr. James Macy.
5.5 years ago, he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We happened to be in Southern California at the time. It was a very sad time because my mom had just passed away. And a week later, my husband says, I have lumps in my groin. And I got him in touch with UCLA. My husband is an MD, and I wanted him to have someone that he could really relate to. And we don't know how long he had the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It was probably there for years before it was discovered.
Yes, that's what I've heard from Dr. Neil Barnard, the president of PCRM, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine.
Oh, yes, I'm a member of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Naturally, my husband is a physician, and that was one of the first organizations we joined. When he underwent chemo, I was nervous about it, about being a vegan. I said, well, is there anything I need to do? Do I need to add any animal products to his meals? And when we talked to the head of oncology at UCLA, I asked him about being vegan, and he said, actually, he's the poster boy for this kind of treatment. And cancer cells grow in animal products. What you're doing, just keep doing it. And I kept asking him, how do you feel? How do you feel on this? And he kept saying, I feel fine. But he never lost weight. He never went down, you know, never got skinny, never looked bad. And he came through it beautifully. And he gets a CAT scan about once every couple of years now, and he's completely free and clear. Because as the UCLA doctor said, and as Dr. Neil Barnard has mentioned many times, other doctors too, cancer cells grow in animal products. So he doesn't have any of those in his system. He walks every day in the mountains for an hour. He does all of my heavy lifting for me, and he's 90. What does that tell you about his health? What do you think, Marlene?
That's exciting to hear and very inspirational and hopeful. And both of you have been vegan for 9 years now, is that correct?
Almost 9 years. In January, it will be 9 years. His hair is thick and beautiful. He has a beautiful shock of hair. Oh, one more thing about his health. He was on massive doses of Lipitor when we first started being vegan, and he was taking 80 milligrams. And within 6 months, he was taken off of all of it. No Lipitor. And his blood pressure is normal, and his cholesterol is normal, and he's on zero medication.
Well, that's exciting to hear of his great health at 90, and of course, your great health and your great energy. And it's also very inspirational that both of you live off the grid.
We live a very rugged lifestyle. We're actually in the mountains of Northern California. We had water system, generator, inverter, solar panels, everything he had put together, and now I run and manage this property. I do manage all of the off-the-grid problems that we have, and it's a large property. I love it here. I plan to live here for the rest of my life, and I'm so in love with being a vegan. My energy levels, and I'm in my 60s, and I'm always mistaken for somebody 20 years younger, just as my husband is. And I see him lifting and doing things that my dad could never do. My dad drags around with a walker, and my dad was a powerful man, but I know that because of what the way he ate. And he is a Holocaust survivor, yes, it's true.
Lily, just share with our listeners about the experience of your mom and dad.
They were treated like what happens to every farm animal on the planet today. And even, you know, I see animals here grazing because I live in cattle country. And one day, the Nazis come in, take you out of your home, you're grazing. Maybe this is for grass-fed beef. I'm showing you how I see the absolute connection that Will Tuttle talks about, what people do to the animals, they do to each other. My parents were just rounded up and put into cattle cars along with their parents and my dad's brother and his younger sister, who were only 12 and 7 years of age, and my father, who was 15. That was his story. He was just taken out of his home at gunpoint and rounded up and taken to the concentration camp. And my mother, it was very similar. Her mother was a doctor, and she didn't think that this kind of thing could happen. And her mother and she and her grandmother and her father was trying to help my mother's father, my grandfather on my mother's side, was trying to help his sister with some things that were happening on the Russian border. But he was killed. He was actually shot by Nazis. And then my mother, her mother, and my mother's mother, my great-grandmother, and my mother's child, my older sister, who was born during the Holocaust, who was only about 2 years old. I remember this story. They all snuck out. The Nazis said, come down, come down, come down. And there was a nice lady that was there, and they had already moved from their lovely home into this little one-room thing. They were in this one room together, and the lady said, don't go down. They're killing young mothers with babies first. You'll get shot. Don't go down. So they didn't go down, and they sneaked out after the Nazis left, and they all slept in a graveyard. And then eventually my mother tried to escape. She actually took off the Jewish star. Her mother was taken right to Auschwitz when they were caught. My mother escaped a couple of times, and the one time she walked in the woods for a couple of months in the woods and was housed by farmers. This is quite a story. She's always told me, write the book, Lily, write the book. I want to write it with the idea of what my own relatives, my mother and my father, went through is exactly what these poor animals go through when they're being rounded up, taken out of their homes, even if they have a good home, even if they're not on a factory farm. One day, someone comes, throws them into a wagon, takes them to the feedlot where they're suddenly in hell, which is a concentration camp, right, and then brutally slaughters them. If that's not what happened to my relatives, I don't know what is. They were rounded up out of their homes. One day they're in their home. The next day they're rounded up out of their homes because they're considered the other. They're considered vermin. They're considered cockroaches. Don't think of them as people. And that's exactly what the people who work in the slaughterhouses and in the factory farms are told. Don't think of them as living beings. Don't think of them as animals. Just do what you have to do. Bash them in the head. Do whatever you have to do, because just don't think of them as anything but a piece of meat. Don't think of them. And that's exactly what happened to my parents and grandparents. It was done to the whole family. The only people who survived were my mother and my father, and my mother's one younger sister did survive. My mother's sister was a blue-eyed, blonde-haired beauty of 15. My mother was 19 when it started. My mother's sister actually hid out, and she hid out as a Polish maid in a German household, and she was able to survive that way. She was also very courageous. She found a beautiful Catholic family who took in my older sister, who was only 2. People would do that, but if it got around to the Nazis that you were harboring a Jewish child, your whole family would be sent to a concentration camp, or you would be killed on the spot. So they undertook a great courageous act to take in my older sister, and my older sister is still living, and she's the survivor.
And your father was saved by Schindler?
The only reason he survived is because he was 15 and they put him to work. He was one of the people that Schindler helped. My father knew Schindler and worked in his pot factory, not marijuana, his pot, because I live in Northern California, but his factory. They did pots and pans, and that was why he was able to survive. And actually, in 1969, Schindler came over to the United States, and my mother and father had him over for dinner. But at that time, I was really young, and I didn't even know who Schindler was, and no one really knew until that movie came out. When that movie came out, my dad finally came out of the closet. My dad didn't talk about it. My mother talked about nothing but the Holocaust. She talked about it every day. So I was fed on Holocaust stories from birth. She always told me, you have no idea what I've been through. And because my mother and father survived, and her first husband did not, he was killed defending someone, he said, because nobody knew, they didn't realize what they were into. They didn't realize what Nazis were. Just like the animals, when they go down into the blood pit, the pigs try to befriend their persecutors and their torturers and their tormentors and their killers. They actually try to nuzzle up to them. And the people that were rounded up in the Holocaust actually didn't realize that they were dealing with total and complete heartlessness. And not all the Nazis were heartless. Not all of them. And not all of the people who work in those factory farms are heartless, because many of them say that they're sorry that they worked there and sorry that they worked in the slaughterhouses. So not all of them were heartless. But the ones that, when my mother's first husband, who was a 20-year-old boy, tried to defend an older man, maybe a man in his 40s, the Nazi just shot him, just said, you know, just shot him straight in the head, and that's how he died. And so then my mother and my father, my mother was about, oh, I guess in her 20s when it was all over with, and my father was getting close to 20, they met after the Holocaust, and that's how I came to be. And I believe I owe a great debt to the great sufferers of this world today, because my own family was treated the way they were treated. And Will Tuttle brought it all home to me in his magnificent work, The World Peace Diet.
It's time to take a break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. We're joined by Lily Macy, the World Peace Diet facilitator.
You're in tune to WCUW 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at WCUW.org.
The 5th annual Fresh Grass Festival of Bluegrass and Roots Music returns to Mass Mocha in North Adams, Massachusetts, September 18th through the 20th. 3 days of Berkshire food and spirits, bluegrass workshops, urban camping, and late-night hoedowns. Featuring main stage artists such as the Punch Brothers, Dwight Yoakam, Allison Brown, and regional favorites Ronnie Arbo and Daisy Mayhem. Fresh Grass, September 18th through the 20th at Mass Mocha. For more info, visit freshgrass.com.
Stay there till after dark. Sweet sound, soft and low. Song on the radio.
You'll find one of these on a Friday morning, that's for sure. Troy here with the Jukebox of Americana, Fridays 9 to 12 noon. Please join us.
After all is said and done, you know you are my only one.
Welcome back to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. We're joined by Lily Macy, a World Peace Diet facilitator who runs a public teleconference.
The World Peace Diet is the most transforming book I've ever read. I consider it the most important book I've ever read. And that's how my activism was born. I started to be an activist right away within the first three chapters, because Will Tuttle in the World Peace Diet, he connected the dots for me. I told you this, Marlene. I was marching for the animals in my 20s on the streets of Los Angeles for certain animals, for the seals, stop the seal hunt. I really cared about the animals. But just like the Jews, these Nazis, maybe they liked their children and their grandchildren or whatever, but the Jews were not part of their circle of compassion. And the food animals were not part of my circle of compassion. So I was marching on the streets of Los Angeles saying, stop the seal hunts, while ordering my filet mignon when I went to a restaurant, when I was out celebrating with my filet mignon, because I was trained that this group over here doesn't matter because they're only food animals. Well, this group over here doesn't matter because they're only Jews or gypsies or homosexuals. Don't worry about them. Kill them. Get rid of them. Don't worry about them. Eat them. Use them any way you want. You can do anything. It's fair game. There are no laws protecting them. And I became empowered to be a voice for the voiceless for what's going on here. It's a tragedy on the planet that these animals, these innocent victims, are being dragged off to their own eternal Treblinka. That's the name of a book that was written. Their own eternal Holocaust. How do I live here happily and joyfully? The only way I do it is by being practicing a vegan and being a voice for the voiceless and saying, okay, this is what I've given my life to. And it's the whole world, too. I mean, it's not just the world of animals. And the World Peace Diet brings that out. And that's why I started the study group. Winston Churchill said, find one book that speaks to you and that you can live by and live by it. It happened for my husband, too. My husband, a highly educated man, an MD. As soon as he read the World Peace Diet, it was a different world for us.
I would also like to hear about your vegan pets.
You can have very healthy vegan pets. I have a mother cat and her three kittens that were thrown into the forest to die. The kittens were about a year and a half old when I became vegan, and the mother was about 2.5. And they are now 10 and 12 years old, and they've been vegan all of their lives. They're in gorgeous shape. Their fur is beautiful, soft, luxurious. They have none of the skin problems that animals can have. My two dogs are also vegan. My 9-year-old has been vegan since he was about 3 months old, and the 10-year-old has been a vegan all of his life, and people are always thinking they are still puppies. They're just loaded with energy, and they've been on evolution pet food with very little added. I do use nutritional yeast. They're thriving. They have none of the joint problems. People that have 10-year-old dogs say, oh, my dog is getting old. He's got these dogs run like the wind. So isn't that interesting? Because animal products are inflammatory, and even when people have arthritis, once they're taken off the animal products, there's quite a bit of reversal of that. And here my dogs have never had to deal with the arthritis that animal products produce because they're vegan, so they don't have any of that. And my husband, too, my favorite dog, my husband doesn't have any arthritic problems at all. And most of the time, I don't. I was an over-exerciser, so I have some things that have come to visit me now that I'm older, and I used to exercise a lot. But my husband doesn't have any arthritis at 90. So there you are. All of my pets are doing well. So, yes, people say, well, you have to feed the animals. You have to feed them what nature tells them to eat, which is other animals. Well, does nature tell them to eat a cow, a pig, or a horse? I mean, it doesn't tell them to eat that. That's not, little cats don't eat large animals. So people are completely, well, they're brainwashed, just like I was. And I'm so grateful for Eric Wiseman and his product. And there are other vegan products now for animals because it gave me the confidence to make the switch. And so I feel I'm 100% vegan. When I buy shoes, I'm always careful that they're not leather. I don't use wool, I don't use honey, I don't use the things that cause animals to be like the people that I came from, the slaves of the Nazis, because all people who use animals, there's that component there. It's a Nazi thing, the people who raise animals for food. And I don't even care if it's a small farm. That animal still is a slave. I have a lot to say about this, right?
Yes, the vegan diet is good for everyone, for everybody, and it is enhancing health, enhancing freedom, enhancing joy for life on earth for everyone. And so I appreciate your message of helping to educate people to become vegan and vegan for their pets as well. So thank you, Lily. And we're coming to a close in today's interview, so I'd like to ask if you have any contact information for our listeners, and also, after that, any closing messages.
Yes, please. World Peace Diet Sunday, it's an interactive conference call, free weekly conference call. The number is 712-432-3900, and then when you get into the line, then there is an access code, and the access code is 568364 pound. So I'm going to repeat that: 712-432-3900, access code 568364 pound. It's 8 p.m. Eastern. So that's all you have to remember, that it's 8 p.m. Eastern, and of course it's 5 p.m. Pacific. And it's a one-hour call that actually I started just to spread the message of the World Peace Diet, because it meant so much to me, but it's kind of turned into a fellowship now, and people from all over the world, from South Africa, from England. It's a beautiful call for vegans and non-vegans, for anybody who's interested in a better world, or in the world at all, in having a planet, a sustainable planet. And so the first hour, I read the World Peace Diet, I make commentary, and people are invited to also make commentary. And then I let it go on to a second hour. We change it, it becomes a little more informal, and so people can bring in news that they've heard, or things that are happening, or news from Will Tuttle. He's right now on a European tour. He's in Rome. I don't know if he's left Rome yet. We are also on Facebook. World Peace Diet Sunday is on Facebook, and it's listed as World Peace Diet Study Group. And I am not actually on email and Facebook myself. Will has always said, Lily, you're doing fine without the internet. Well, I think probably the internet would drive me crazy, Marlene. Because if I started actually looking at all this stuff,
I know,
being the sensitive person that I am, I would probably fall into such a depression that I wouldn't even be able to do my activism. But Sharon Abar is my wonderful web mistress. She helps me with everything. In fact, I sent her a copy of the World Peace Diet. She's a very close friend. As soon as I read it, and as soon as she read it, and she reads like a speed reader, she called me up. She said, I'm in. So she takes care of all of our emails that we send out through World Peace Diet Sunday. She's a wonderful, wonderful friend and helps me behind the scenes a lot to be in contact with the people that are in the study group. And beautiful, beautiful person to know, Sharon Abar. It was worth surviving all the things that I've survived in life just so I can do this work, really. That's what I'm doing out here in the boonies, so that I can spread the message that really veganism is not only important, but it's wonderful. It's a wonderful way to live. It's beautiful. And the food is excellent. Going vegan is not what I thought it would be. And when I heard about vegans, I thought they were extreme. And now I know that eating our fellow beings and torturing them and calling that food, that's what the extremist point of view is. Being vegan is a gentle, beautiful way to live. And I love it. And I see more clearly now. I mean, even my vision is more clear. It's so interesting, Marlene. I just went to have my driver's license renewed, and I had the eye exam. It's the first time since I was a teenager that I was told that, you know, you don't have to work, you don't have restricted license now. Now, I eat a lot of kale and a lot of vegetables, and it's interesting. My eyesight, when I said I see more clearly, I literally see more clearly. It's like my eyesight has improved. And that's in the normal course of events, it's supposed to be the other way around. My eyesight has improved since I became vegan, and I had good eyesight anyway. But Will Tuttle mentions this in his book and how he threw away his glasses. So I thought, oh, well, you know, here's my husband, an ophthalmologist. But it's very interesting how, in my own case, I don't have a restricted driver's license anymore. And I always had one, even when I was a teenager, when I first got my first license. So it's a healthy way to eat. And I see colors. Colors are just so beautiful now. I mean, I look out where I live, and it's like it's in three dimensions. And my life is much more multidimensional. It's a beautiful, transformed way of living. And I only have a short time on this planet, and I want to enjoy my life, and I want to be able to live my life to the fullest when I do become 90, like my husband is. So it's a wonderful way to live. I want to be like my husband, who's hiking in the mountains every day. So that's what I'm doing. So there you are. There you go, Marlene. Go vegan. Go vegan.
That's wonderful news. Thank you, Lily.
Oh, thank you for asking me, Marlene.
I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation, and a very special thank you to Lily Macy, the facilitator of World Peace Diet Sundays, a public teleconference reading and discussion of the World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony by Dr. Will Tuttle. Lily has been sharing information about the main ideas in the World Peace Diet and why veganism is essential for the sustainability and health and peace for all human animals and other than human animals and the environment, and for the future generations especially. She has also been sharing information about her lifestyle living in the boondocks of Northern California, where she and her husband, retired Dr. James Macy, ophthalmologist surgeon, both live off the grid and are very healthy, as well as her healthy vegan pets, including her cats and dogs. And Lily has also shared information about her family who suffered in the Jewish Holocaust. And in the future, Lily will be writing a book about that and the Holocaust that is happening to all animals on Earth today, and how veganism and the messages of the World Peace Diet can help to stop atrocities, violence, and suffering, to create a world of freedom and joy and peace for everyone on Earth. Thank you, Lily, for your beautiful, compassionate, powerful work.
Thank you. Thank you for the work you're doing. I really appreciate it.
In celebration of World Peace Diet Sundays with Lily Macy, let's go out with Will Tuttle's song, To Be Free. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow wishing you a good day.